you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. With great warranties, and I made sure on the Ford Explorer I bought, I got the great warranty. Chris and Jared could not have been tremendous pros. Great guys, tremendous pros. And also looked around the lot for a little bit. A lot of great pre-owned inventory there. All with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department. Routine difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we now bring in the outstanding Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
As always, it's a pleasure to be here. I hope you guys are doing well.
So I have to ask you about your Timberwolves. it really, they spent most of the season as the one seed, and, you know, through circumstance, whatever, fell to a third. And they are taking the world champions right now to the woodshed. I don't know how much you follow them, because you seem to follow everything, but what's it like in Minneapolis right now with this group?
I could go for days on this, because it's like we've had this very small circle of diehard Timberwolves fans.
Yeah.
And even saying that is kind of hard, because it's like embarrassing. You know, you really didn't get into that. I watched when LeBron was in his second stint with Cleveland. I went to a game and watched him play. And Cleveland clearly was, you know, vastly superior, and we knew that. We're used to watching the Timberwolves lose. You go to watch other people for the most part.
Right, sure.
Watching them, though, the sense was, it's funny to me that these teams play in the same league, because when I look at an NBA champion-level team, the last thing I'm thinking about is the Timberwolves. Like, it's nowhere close to that. And you see them on that level now. It's unreal. It's the weirdest feeling to watch. And we knew they were going to be good this year. We knew that there was a shot of them, you know, actually winning a playoff series. You know, it's something they don't do. That's a big win for us. The fact that they are smacking Denver square in the mouth, and the fact that came off a soul-cleansing sweep of Phoenix.
Yep.
A team that dominated the Timberwolves. I mean, it was their kryptonite. I hate that cliche, but the Timberwolves fell apart when they played Phoenix for whatever reason, and they absolutely massacred that team in a few of those games. Mm-hmm. Some pretty tight ones as well, and the idea was, well, Phoenix is bad. You look at the way Minnesota's playing against Denver, it's like maybe Phoenix is still pretty good, because Denver does not have an answer at all. I mean, you took Gobert off the floor last night, and they beat him as Denver's been beaten all season. It was unreal. I mean, it was on a little late for me last night. I watched it early this morning, and I was trying not to wake my family up, jumping around. It was unbelievable how well they were playing. I've never seen that out of them, never.
Yeah, Gobert's wife had their first child, so that's why he missed last night in Denver. And on top of it, it's only the third time all season Denver's been held to under 100 points in back-to-back games. And last night in Denver, that was not competitive.
No, it really wasn't. I mean, it was over start to finish. That was the best part. You saw Murray melting down on the sideline. It's halfway through the second quarter, and the game is over. They're up 17 at that point, and Denver hadn't competed yet. You saw Malone freaking out about a call on a play, and you wonder if it's not kind of trying to rally his team and to show people he's still in the fight and they need to be as well. It was an act of desperation. Minnesota couldn't do anything wrong throughout most of that game. Easily the most complete game I've seen a team play this season. And I have never even thought about saying that about a Minnesota Timberwolves team. So it's been beyond exciting, and people are really starting to heat up to it just because you kind of get, well, you, Minnesota sports in general, you know, pretty pretty commonly associated with the one-and-done mentality in the postseason. But to see, you know, the Twins even won a series last year, it's things are coming around. It, you know, fans are starting to perk up a little bit. And Friday, I was just in a big group thread with a bunch of friends. My opinion, Friday's the probably the most anticipated Timberwolves game since the franchise started back in 91 or whenever that was. Just the atmosphere is going to be absolutely electric. It's going to be so much fun to watch. Really looking forward to it. I hope there are a lot of people that just don't like basketball, probably because they see regular season basketball. Watch playoff basketball. It's vastly different. Oh. It's really exciting. Yeah. This is one of the best times of the year on the sports calendar.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was the Big Ten tournament was the Target Center, so I did a couple of games in there in March. And part of that, too, was Penn State practicing in the T-Wolves facility, where the T-Wolves and the Lynx both practice. That's actually a pretty nice facility across the street. Not bad at all. Okay, the schedule release is normally the second Thursday in May. At the moment, it appears to be held up. And for whatever reason, nobody knows. But I find it remarkable that you already know the teams and people still watch this, Neil. I mean, you have to as a professional, but why?
I think it's just one, and this is a whole separate topic. One, fans, and I'll admit this. I tell my staff, what we're writing for really is Joe Sweatsock, yep. Fictional character that is invested in sports, but he's going to present that he's invested in sports a lot more than he probably really is. He's not getting into the X's and O's. He doesn't need the presentation at a general manager level of what happened in a game. What Joe wants is basic information that he, and yes, she as well, can take back to his or her social media circle and share it and talk about it at a group accepted level. So in that, you're looking at something like the schedule. It's an event. It's something that Joe Sweatsock can very easily understand, and they can start mapping things out. Now, as far as the league and the delay and everything like that, you're right. We won't know, but almost a guarantee it's the combination of post-draft, who's going where the matchups are, and the long train car reaction that you'll get from moving one game from this spot to this primetime spot because now we want this, that created this matchup, and moving everything else around and then coordinating that with stadiums. You know, there's a lot of different things that go on with it. It's a full-time job for a staff of people who are doing this year-round. It takes a lot for them to put the schedule together. Now, at the same time, could they have done it last week? Not in a primetime spot? Probably. They're going to wait for the Thursday night opening when they can get it. Fans are always looking for NFL content that isn't necessarily breaking down the virtues of a Tampa 2 defense. You know, the simple things that they can understand, they really want to get into because it's fun. It's exciting, kind of getting to see the season be a little bit closer. You get to do all the projections of, you know, the running joke always is 12-4. I don't see a loss in the schedule. If they were 2-14 the year before, then they're going to be 8-8. You know, there's always a massive improvement from their team from one year to another. Kick-starting that discussion and having a tangible foundation on which to have that discussion, I think, is really what drives people. And it goes beyond the draft of what this sub-package defensive tackle can bring to them that they don't really understand. This is something they do understand. They know the Steelers are playing the Ravens on a Monday night game, Week 4. That's what we want to talk about right now. You know, the immediacy of it gives them kind of the quenching of thirst that the draft kind of took care of, but now there's a little bit of space in between it. We want something else because the rest of it's going to be kind of boring, at least until training camp.
We do know the opener is the Eagles, the game in Brazil. The Eagles and the Packers will be on Friday night on opening weekend. We also know that what built the NFL was happened to be the fans of this country. There's a lot of talk about them playing 18 games down the road. We'll get to that at a later date. But what about the number of international games that the NFL is playing? And what's the balance to you, Neil, between servicing the fans of this country that built it while branching out? For example, that's a home game for the Eagles, but the fans of Philadelphia didn't deserve to have a ninth home game?
It's a good question. And I think the NFL has been able to some degree dodge that. Primarily isn't the right word, but more than a little bit emphasizing teams that might not have ranked all that highly in attendance, had stadium issues, things like that. I mean, in Minnesota, the Vikings had, I think, two London games while U.S. Bank Stadium was being built. They didn't want to play in the Metrodome anymore for a variety of reasons.
Right.
Jacksonville has had, I don't know how many games in London. Clearly, there are connections and reasons why some of these teams would do it. But you're right. You know, to put the spotlight on two marquee franchises, one of them being arguably the most legendary within not just the NFL but with sports in general, those are big brands. Somebody's got to give up a home game. What do they get for that? We don't know. You know, they don't really talk about that. But I'm pretty sure Jeff Lurie is not doing that out of the goodness of his heart. You know, he wants the gate. He can get the money back, but it's not just about that. It's the look of it. What do season ticket holders say when, well, actually, you're not paying as much for season tickets this year because you're only going to get seven regular season home games?
Right.
I shouldn't even say that. I don't know the calculus behind the added game. Maybe they still have eight. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's complicated, I'm sure, and I'm sure there's more going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And they probably are in the position that they're in because they know how to play the long game. They're going to get something of it out of it. But I can say this without reporting anything specific. I have heard from sources in the Steelers organization at least once over the last 10 years that they're going to play an international game. And I think they had one preseason game somewhere. I forget. I think it was in Mexico fairly recently. But that's it. You know, they're not doing it. I think there's a reason why the Steelers aren't doing it. They don't really want to. So it makes you wonder who kind of has the credibility and the weight in the league, the pull within the league to say we're not doing this versus, you know, the Jaguars who had to, whether they wanted to or not. You know, maybe that's part of being the younger franchise. But there are, I'm sure, very long, drawn-out conversations. And I would add to your question the calculus behind Hard Knocks. The HBO show, I'm not even sure if that's going to continue for a whole lot longer. It's far less interesting than it used to be. They've cut down on a lot of it. I don't know what viewership is like, but the NFL clearly does not actively want to do that as well. The league does. Teams do not. Even if the Steelers qualified for, and they have recently, even if they qualified for inclusion in that show, I don't think there's a way in the world they would do that. I really don't see that happening. So maybe that connects to international games. They don't want to give up a home game. Maybe they need that more than Jeff and Lurie does. You know, I'm not sure overall, but it's an interesting question of how to balance that out. Now, they have the advantage now of that extra game, so you can say, well, you know, it's still an added bonus for you to have nine home games, and you're going to have eight home games next year, because your 17th game will be on the road. They do that by conference. So it does make sense. And in that regard, maybe the NFL wants to add to the schedule that way. We can play them just interconference. One team loses a home game, but, you know, kind of deal with it. We'll figure something out. I think they have that advantage built in, but they want more games and they want more international sites. But it's going to continue to be I don't know if debated is the right word right now, but I wonder if fans are particularly happy not getting a chance to go to that one game because they're, you know, the NFL needs to expand to Brazil for the reasons they want to do that.
Yeah, last I checked, it's also warm in Philadelphia in early September as opposed to December. I'll approach the 18th game. We know the NFL. They've been pushing for 18 games for what, 10, 12 years? All right. So they got to compromise to 17. If they do somehow get the Players Association to agree to 18, do they get more money from the networks to cover that based on what you know about the contract?
I wouldn't be sure of that, but at the same time, I think that's probably something you might file under the cost of doing business. If they want to throw in an itemized line in the contract for that, then they could. But I think when we're talking the amount of money overall, especially considering the amount of increase from one contract to the next that the NFL's had over the last 50 years, I would imagine the idea is they've paid for it. It's on them to get to the games. I know that. They have to figure that out on their own accord. I'm sure there's some, cooperation, partnership, maybe equipment sharing that goes on. NFL Network's usually what will cover the international games. CBS might have a camera there, but it's usually the local market will have that to be sure. On the local station.
Right.
It's a good question. Ask me next week. I'm going to look into that. I know a couple people to ask. I wonder what they would say.
Yeah, good. I'm glad we could plant that seed and go from there because, the league's a money tree. I mean, they've perfected taking a man in his 60s walking out with a card and telling you a name, and they've turned it into millions of people watching him do it.
Yep, that's the growth of American business, right? I mean, it seems to stack every year. I mean, for me, it goes back to kind of the pre-Brady Manning era. Think of it as the running back and defense era of the NFL, back when those things mattered.
Right.
Holistically around the league, you saw a completely different brand of football. You saw two running backs in the backfield. When's the last time you see that on a non-goal right. line situation play? It really doesn't happen, except maybe Detroit will run a package or two of that. But the rise of modern passing, not even West Coast style offense, but modern passing, vertical passing, in efficiency. It's created a different game, and I think that's been the key to the evolution of the NFL as opposed to, say, baseball. I know this is a really easy argument to make, but baseball is so locked in. It's so numbers-driven. Everything is pretty set. The game doesn't change a whole lot. The way that a guy swings a bat, how he stands and everything, sure, that kind of thing. But the actual gameplay itself hasn't really changed until recently when they made a base bigger. They put a pitch clock, a timer on pitching, things like that. That substantially changes the game. But it seems like the NFL has done that over and over again each decade. And it's become a different game for each generation. And each generation has warmed to their version of it. While old people like me will crow about the glory days from 30 years ago, but yeah. you see where that comes from, and that kind of evolution I think has created a new sport to a degree. You've heard me say this a bunch, and I'll probably say it for the next 20 years. Go back and watch the AFC Championship game between the Ravens and the Steelers today. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not recognizable compared to football today. It's completely different. It is not the same game. I know that there are basics, the fundamentals of things. It comes down to blocking and tackling. All that is true. But how they are calling the game, how the strategy is working, what they're doing in different situations, and even to a degree, to some degree, the skill of the players, but absolutely the athleticism of the players. It's a completely different game, and I think that is, in my mind, that's what's driven the financial success, is to, in a quiet way, they've been able to reinvent their sport in a way that isn't recognizable to the new generation, but the previous generation sees it. So it's something new to the new market, to the new audience, and they're going to consume it for what it is, without having to worry about the future direction of it so much. You know, they see it for what it is now. It'll be, you know, by this logic, it'll be this very different again in 10 years. I don't know what direction that's going to go, but it keeps people around. People continue to want to watch it, and with that, it's driving insane contract, insane TV and media deals. And they haven't even touched in new media a whole lot. You know, we still call it new media. It's not even new media to anybody except the NFL. They'll, you know, we've talked about streaming a bunch. They're still touching on that. That's not even like a mainstay. Other sports are doing that consistently every night. There's a lot more opportunity for them to continue to grow if they can keep the sport relevant to a generation that doesn't seem to be as interested in this overall as past ones have. And to me, that's kind of where the Brady versus Manning thing comes in. You had compelling theater with that. What's it going to be in the next generation? Where's the game going to go? You know, the strategy of it will change. Heroes will emerge. Will they have that kind of star power? I don't know. But that's, to me, that's really all the NFL needs. Generation in and generation out is those hero figures, the mythical, you know, legendary guys doing battle on the field. They get that, people are going to follow it, and you know they're going to break out their wallets for the opportunity to continue to watch it.
Go T-Wolves, go, man! All right,
let's do it. Friday night,
Game 3, Nuggets, Wolves, Target Center. Neil, by the way, chip and dip night at his place. Great to
Absolutely.
Be with you, my friend.
Come one, come all.
Yeah, that's right. We're all in, buddy. Hey, you're awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you.
Neil Coulong. All right, we'll take a break. Matt Cotrillo, take two. I don't know. Are you sure this time?
I'm never sure about anything. Until somebody picks up the phone or calls me.
This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.